Oh, that's a little theme tune there. Oh, you look happy.
What on earth was that?
Did you not like it? I've got other ones. Maybe it could be a rumba or something. No, you don't like that.
Was that it? Was that what? Just 5 seconds of it?
Oh
was
yeah,
it?
Listen, it's only 5 seconds. Look, it's this. Then it shows we're into the council talk. You see,
it sounds like the conversation's going somewhere, and it doesn't.
Well, it will be going somewhere. You've been down for the weekly briefing at Brentwood Borough Council, and you've got loads to talk about this morning.
I do indeed. Yes, three major topics of discussion. The first one, Barry Aspinall, leader of the council, who holds the meeting every week, first started to talk about the Scottish referendum, saying how great it was that. This decision was made without any punch-ups. I think there was one punch-up, but, you know, without any bloodshed or anything like that, and they've decided their own future. This was a allusion to the fact, of course, that Brentwood is currently undertaking its own you know, written referendum in a way. Well, that's not quite true. It's not a referendum, but it is a consultation. Brentwood Borough Council, as you know from previous weeks, they have an intention to go out to the residents of Brentwood and the businesses of Brentwood as well about William Hunter Way to decide what they're going to do about it. And that consultation is now underway. Wrongly called it a referendum. Well, you never know. I mean, the idea is, of course, if everybody feels strongly one way or another, that will shape council policy. That's the whole point of doing the consultation in the first place. And delighted with the response so far. Bearing in mind, it only started to go out at the weekend. It's been online, I think, a little bit longer, a few days longer. But they've already had, I did overhear this, and we did manage to get this official, with 220 responses online so far, 364 in the post. So nearly 600 people have responded so far, which is pretty good.
That's good,
I think.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I mean, you could say, well, you know, out of thousands of people, you know, it's not enough. But, of course, it's only just started. Also, to get anything more than a 1% response from a mail shot is brilliant. Yeah. I know this from... marketing and whatnot, and they've had more than that already. Well, obviously, the early days, the consultation goes on for 6 weeks, so it ends, I think, 13th or 14th
of October.
Is
there options, or is it just saying to people, what do you want? Or do they say it's either a cinema, or we're looking at doing shops, or we're looking at, you know, whatever else? Or is it anybody can say, this is what we think you should have there, so it's open?
It's very thorough. They made a point of saying that people had congratulated them on the thoroughness of the available options, and they said it ticks all the boxes.
Right.
Which I hope they don't tick all the boxes, because that would make it invalid, I would imagine, if they did that. You've got to choose things, not just tick everything.
Yeah.
They're very proud with the response so far. Russell Quirk was there at the meeting, said that it shows that the council very much care about what people in Brentwood think and want to shape their policy according to
so
what people
think.
So
it is a tick box on certain things.
It is
Just,
oh, well, you've got
options, basically, to tick from out of a certain amount, is it?
You can... I have seen, I'm just trying to describe it now because I haven't got it in front of me, that there are options. You can also write in what you want to say if you've got any particular ideas that you want to do. For example, if you want a big town square with fountains
That's
and
what you want,
statues of former former presidents of Brentwood. We'll talk about communism later in the later in the conversation. I was in Moscow last year, and I was very impressed with some of the town squares they had there. But anyway, moving on. There are options. You know, obviously things about cinema, parking, shops. It's the usual stuff, really. You know, what other leisure facilities would you like to see there? That kind of thing as well. I mean, there could be, new cultural hub, leisure centre. Whatever. I know we've already got a theatre and we've already got a leisure centre in town, but, you know, it's an opportunity to shape the future of Brentwood, really. Now, there's no... obviously, the consultation has got to be analysed, and there are legal issues as well, because I know that Brentwood Borough Council are talking to Essex County Council and also Barclays Bank about who owns which particular parcel of land, and there are various legal claims. We did try to press on a date as to when... planning or plans will be submitted, and they certainly want to do something before the next election, which is only about 8 months away now.
Right.
So it does take time. It's not something that you can just click your fingers, it's going to happen overnight, but it's all, the process is underway. Now, no data analysis has been done so far, of course, because it's still happening. But very pleased with the response that's coming in. And if you're on Twitter and you follow all the politicians as I do, you would have seen Barry's arms full of consultation papers like that, you know, so in both arms. So they're very happy so far that they're getting reaction, which is nice. Okay, moving on. Part two. Barry Aspinall this week met Chief Executive of Crossrail, Andrew Wolstenholme. Now, obviously, Crossrail is a big thing that's happening in the borough over the next few years. It's going to start in Shenfield, and trains will stop at Shenfield and Brentwood and go all stations into London, and of course, cross London because it's Crossrail, and then on to Heathrow and Reading and so on, I believe. So, they talked about a number of issues because there are issues, of course, about or concerns. Whether local residents are going to be compensated because of the disruption with noise, disruption to business, construction traffic, start and finish times as well. You know, the usual things on a major project. I believe this is the biggest engineering project in Europe, so this is a big deal. Now, they're looking to start in Shenfield middle of next year, I believe, and ending 2017, maybe early 2018. So it's going to be a couple of years. It's going to start next year. It's going to be a lot of work, obviously, taking place. And Brentwood, less work. Shenfield's going to have more of the work. Brentwood, they've just got to do a bit of tidying up of the platforms where there's overgrown. I mean, the idea is that once this is all done and upgraded, there is a possibility that... I think it's the intention. You know, I'm not a Crossrail expert, but the intention is, whereas on the tube, you get off the tube and you wait like 4 or 5 minutes for the next tube. With overground rail lines, I'm trying to think of the name, you might wait 10 or 15 minutes for the next train. Well, they say there'll be more capacity for if the trains are smoother and they're faster, there'll be more capacity on the line, so you can put more high speed trains on as well. So there could be a possibility that they could be having up to 14 trains an hour,
right,
which is one every 4 minutes, I think, which is would be fantastic. If you go to Shenfield or Brentwood station, you want to go into London and you know you can get a train within 4 minutes, that would be brilliant, I think, for everybody. So let's hope it's all worthwhile. Now, the council are going to have regular meetings with Costain, who are the builders, for want of a better word, and the track owners. And we couldn't decide who the track owners were because they've gone through so many different, you know, network rail and rail track and so on. So I'm going to call it British Rail.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's. I think everyone will understand if I say they're going to be talking to British Rail. You know, it's good for progress. The council are able to give feedback from the traders and residents about how things are going as well, and that's something that's going to be done on a regular basis, made public, transparent, so that everybody knows where we are with Crossrail.
And also so, make sure they do get the compensation if you live near. Put it don't, because if you've got enough money to build a railway like that, you've got enough money to compensate the people who live near it. When I was worked over in Ireland, I only say this because we had a big hospital there, but we redesigned, and all of the council flats that were around it basically brought the area up. All the council flats, all the people that backed onto that development, which went on for about 4 years, were all compensated because there were rats. It was the noise, and that was like kicking off at like 7 o'clock in the morning till 4 or 5 in the afternoon, 7 days a week. Drives a bit, and also you've got all the traffic problems, and also, as you said, all the trucks and lorries and things coming through. So people, if they've got enough money to build it, then they've got enough money to pay people who live, you know, who can be affected a little bit to kind of sweeten it.
I think they are awash with money. Yeah, I don't think money is the object at the moment. It's just a question of what they actually do with it for the residents to make it. You know, if nobody complains, they're not going to do anything, are they?
Complain so, now. I would. I live in Thurrock. I can hear it from here.
Yep, get on Twitter at Crossrail. Give them some. Okay, so now Russell Quirk also added that he believes that it's helping house prices in Brentwood and Shenfield, which is interesting as well. There's already evidence to show that compared to other local towns, the house prices along the Crossrail route in East London are increasing because there will be more people wanting to live in those areas because it's going to be more attractive for transport. So that's something we're going to talk about at a later time on Phoenix FM. Obviously, Russell has got expertise in the property market, so he knows what he's talking about. So it's interesting stuff. That's good news for Brentwood and Shenfield, I would think, to know that it's not always good news to hear house prices going up, especially if you want to buy a house. It's always bad news. But of course, if you've got property and you're relying on that for your pension, as many of us do now, it's nice to know that it's not going to plummet because they've built Crossrail. So it's good news for some, not for others. The council also talked about the investment philosophy, and this is something we have talked about before, and Barry Aspinall made a statement to say that Brentwood Borough Council would be bankrupt in 7 years if it does not start to raise extra revenues from other areas.
Right.
He says not just Brentwood, that's quite a dramatic statement, he said not just Brentwood, other councils are going to have to go the same way as well, because they have to be entrepreneurial and make money from elsewhere.
But haven't they got lots of... Brentwood Borough Council's got lots of property, haven't they, all over the area that they could be renting out or doing stuff? No, I'm just asking. I thought they did. I thought they did have sort of, you know...
Well, yeah, but we'll come on and talk about that, because this is something we've talked about in previous weeks, where the current administration have not been very impressed with the way that the previous administration have handled the property. And we're not just talking about places for rent. We're talking about car parks, billboards and that kind of thing as well. Now, Barry said that other councils are way ahead of Brentwood and started 3 or 4 years ago to be entrepreneurial. And Brentwood Borough Council, of course, under the previous administration, did not do that, according to him. And they're now looking at, they're looking at property investment as one thing. They're saying that they expect that other councils could well be owning investment property in Brentwood, which begs the question, why isn't Brentwood Council owning more investment property in Brentwood if other councils think it's a good idea to buy it? Now, no examples of what was given, but that's the feeling. The feeling is that they kind of missed the boat and now they're getting on the next boat.
Mm.
Now, that brings us on the same subject, pretty much on the same subject, talking about assets, but that ends Brentwood Borough Council's briefing for the week, and then it went on to Brentwood Accord. So this is talking from a political point of view now. There was an assets, I think it's asset and community meeting on Wednesday evening at Brentwood Borough Council. Barry was very upset, and he said he was disgusted about what was happening at the meeting. We're going to talk through that now. Russell Quirk is the chairman. That's why he was at the briefing today at the town hall. Now, Russell said a lot of thought goes into ideas, initiatives and the agenda. And also the Accord want to be more transparent than previous administrations have been. That's something that they've said many times. And that they are, you know, whether you think it's right or wrong, it's something that they are putting into practice. Now, one of the main tasks is that Russell has been looking at land and premises that Brentwood Borough Council own. Now, there is a car park at Westbury Drive car park. Do you know it? It's at the other end of the High Street from Wilson's Corner, opposite the tile shop. And it's still called the High Street, that part of the High Street, even though it's past the traffic lights, going towards the police station.
Yep.
And there's a car park there, 30... I mean, I can't even picture it either. I've come to Brentwood for years and years. 30 spaces there, mainly long-term business lets. And Russell wants to look at developing this. Maybe building some residential properties, because as we've spoken before, Brentwood Borough Council, like every other local authority, is under pressure to provide loads and loads of residential properties. And if they can do it slap bang in the middle of the urban belt, then that's brilliant as well. Also, maybe extend the High Street a little bit more, build some shops there, maybe 6 shops, with an idea of maybe selling 3 so they've got some revenue coming in, some capital revenue coming in, and then maybe the council keeping 3 shops, and to try and encourage businesses like an independent baker or a butcher, people who've left the High Street because the rents have been too high.
Yeah.
So it's, in Russell's word, this is entrepreneurial, and it also shows a social responsibility to provide shops that people will want to go to. He says that will also start to invigorate that into the High Street. There are a number of empty shops there, just the other side of traffic lights, like Mr. Saville, who's closed down a couple of years ago, hasn't been replaced, and maybe if we suddenly see a little cluster of shops there being successful, other people will start to want to move in as well. Seems like a good idea.
Yep.
Well, not according to the opposition, unfortunately. He said that the leader and deputy leader of the opposition, Lewis McKinley and Roger Hirst, gave him a barrage of abuse. said it was communism and that Russell should go away and read Das Kapital. Which, now, Russell has been accused of many things. I don't think he's ever been accused of being a communist before. You know, he was quite angry. And
but if you've got land, I mean, the thing is, if you know how much it is to build, I worked for a builder years ago, as I said, over in Ireland, and the money you spend to actually build, if they had three shops at the bottom, they did two floors above it with apartments, the rental market's very good, or otherwise they could sell them, they can rent out the downstairs. But so what I don't see that's bringing money in rather than
the,
just having
the opposition's point is that the administration are advocating state control of assets. Now, communists aren't the only people who advocate that. In fact, I think a lot of parties do, you know, especially in the UK, where most of the main parties are pretty much in the centre. And it's not a it's not an unusual, you know, I think you've got to be pretty far over on the right to actually not advocate that in any shape or form. And Russell describes himself as a conservative. He says, you know, he is a modern conservative. That's how he describes himself. He's not very left wing at all, as we know. And he's, you know, in his view, he's certainly not a communist. And he felt that it was.
Sorry, Russ.
He feels it's entrepreneurial to provide shops that people want. It's socially responsible. I mentioned that already. The opposition want to have a, in Russell's words, a very expensive business case again, which like the one at Park and Stride, which cost £20,000. And Russell and Barry don't feel that that's a very good use of council time or money. They think that they want to pre-discuss things, and they say if they don't do this, nothing will happen to it. It will just be sat on, and nothing will happen. No income coming in. No no movement. And they want to revitalise the high street. It's always a bit of a hot potato locally. It could be a lot better. Some of the shops are looking a bit tired and tatty, and some of the shops do, of course, need to be filled as well.
Yep.
Now, other members of the Accord, I'm told, are in principle with it. And this brought us onto something that the council again brought up at the meeting. And we've talked about it before. It's the council setting up a trading company to look after the entrepreneurial side of council business. They call it a LATCO, which is like a local authority trading company, LATCO. Now, Russell was chairman of the asset panel in 2012 when he was with the Conservatives, and he made that part of the council's asset strategy. And when he was removed from the panel, the Conservatives reversed it. And Russell, now obviously back in charge, wants to go ahead and wants the company to hold these assets, like Worley Training Centre, which we talked about before as well. And he's asked the officers to agree the scheme. Now, the Conservatives, who, let's forget that they're Brentwood Conservatives, normally Conservatives are quite entrepreneurial themselves and like to go out and make a bit of money, and they voted against it. Now, Russell said that other councils, well, Barry said it as well, other councils to have these LATCOs include Chelmsford, Colchester, Braintree, and then Westminster, which last time I remember Westminster Council wasn't particularly communist. In fact, quite the opposite, I think. Not very left-wing at all. So, you know, this isn't a, you know, this isn't some kind of Marxist plot. This is something that the council wants to do, which the Conservatives do as well. So, not happy with the way that they were treated. You know, and in the same vein, the council has rents and the council has leases. And now, Russell looked into the council's expired leases and rent reviews. Now, you know that if you have a property and you rent it to a shop, for example, then it might be like a 10 or a 15 year lease, and every 5 years there'll be a provision for a rent review. So the landlord can come along and say, okay, you're paying £15,000, I think you should be paying £18,000 now, let's have another £3,000. Which is obviously, you know, and that happens every 5 years, so it's like a 5 yearly rent increase, and it follows the market. Now, if you're the tenant and you don't like it, you can go to arbitration, and a lot of the time, if there's an increase, it always goes to arbitration, and then somebody says, well, all the other shops are going up 5%, you've got to go up 5%, you can't go up 20%, that kind of thing. So this is all part of the process. Now, Russell has told me that the council have discovered that there are about a couple of dozen properties where there was meant to be a rent review and there was no rent review because the previous administration, whoever was responsible for it, did not pursue a rent review. And they've calculated that the money the council has lost by not doing this is £63,000 a year.
Right.
So that's what they think. And this is on top of £16,000 a year that the council were not invoicing for the billboard use, which we talked about a long time ago. And suddenly they're now talking about a lot of extra revenue coming into the council, because as well as correcting these mistakes, they're looking to get 60,000 from Wally Training Centre and lots more income besides. So now, from my point of view, I used to be finance director of a company that had a 25 million turnover, and we had 27 leases. And if I missed a rent review, I probably would have been sacked. This is quite serious.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If this is true, this is a bit of a shocker. So it would be nice to get the Conservatives to come in, and then they can explain, give their point of view. So
you can come in when you're talking, you know, come in net on this show would be perfect to come in and have a chat.
I would love them to come in and, you know, talk about some of these things. So hopefully we can do that in the future.
Mm.
Anyway, another thing that they talked about, again, this is from the Accords point of view, is Ingrave Community Hall. This is a white building that you've probably driven past many, many times as you're coming up through Ingrave, and you haven't noticed it before. It's derelict. It was run by a trust. Now, the trustees have all expired, which is a polite way of saying that they're no longer with us.
Yep.
And Brentwood Borough Council is now custodian of the building. The building was abandoned in 2006. Now, there was a meeting of shadow trustees, which is like...
That sounds quite creepy, actually.
Something to do with... Yeah, I think this happened on Halloween.
Right, okay.
Now, this happened 2 years ago, and it included local councillor Sheila Murphy, who's now part of the opposition, and the shadow trustees agreed to demolish the building and turn it into common land. Now, the building's dilapidated. Mm. It would need lots of money to refurbish, and also there's no real need for it because... the council have spoken to Ingrave Parish Council, and they say they don't need the building. They've got other buildings that they can use for community functions. So there has been an agreement. There's no money to refurbish it. It's dilapidated. It should be demolished. Go back to council. In fact, that was agreed. Now, the opposition, even though they agreed to demolish it, are now wanting to defer it, to talk to local residents, have more consultations, and basically not move forward with it. Even though there is no money to refurbish, and they aren't able to explain where the money's going to come from to refurbish,
so they're kind of nicking the idea of like William Hunt Away.
Maybe, and it's a bit of a no-brainer as well, because if you go out to the residents of your local village, you say you've got a dilapidated building there. Do you think we should refurbish it and reopen it? Everyone's going to say yes, aren't they?
Yeah.
Until you say you've got to pay for it,
yeah,
and then everyone's going to say,
knock it down,
or can't someone else pay for it? So it can be a bit of a leading question to have that consultation. Now, as far as the council is concerned, it's already agreed. Firstly, nobody wants it.
Yeah.
It's already been agreed to demolish it. Why aren't we just getting on with it and doing it and doing our job? So Russell says this is political opportunism, and added that it was very disappointing that, you know, the role of the opposition is to oppose the current administration and to keep them in check, and not just to oppose things just for the sake of it, not just to oppose every single thing. One more thing that the Accords brought up was Hutton Community Centre. This is obviously very important. Just to briefly sum up, we know the roof is leaking. We know there was an earthing wire disconnected, could have been disconnected for several months. Now, Russell and Barry both looked to see why it was signed off if the wires were disconnected. Eventually, an electrical engineer examined and said that the building was safe and they're going to carry on having meetings. Now, they did actually threaten to close the building because if there was a 1% chance, Barry said, that somebody could be injured or killed as a result of it, they will have to close the building, even if it's probably less than 1%. I would have thought that if that was the case, then especially since a member of the public had advised them that there was a problem with the wiring and discovered it and advised them, the council wouldn't have had a leg to stand on. You could be, if somebody died, they could be looking at corporate manslaughter charges, could be going to jail for 10 years. So it's a pretty serious thing. Now, the Conservatives have accused the Accords of scaremongering. So there was a very unpleasant incident at the meeting where one of the Conservative councillors was shouting, interrupting, that the administration were trying to ruin the Hutton Community Centre project, and it was quite unpleasant. I would imagine it's all on the webcast. And I'm also told that Roger Hurst said that nothing had happened, so it was okay. Nobody died, so it was okay, because it was obviously opened on the previous administrations.
Is that going to be the new headquarters? Is that where they're moving?
Well, us.
Yeah, be careful.
With some of the wiring I've seen on the desk, I'm going to make no more comments about that. Okay. They were quite concerned. They're basically saying, if there's any danger, it's got to be close. It's not scare. When they said, if that's scaremongering, then we're scaremongering. You know, that's from their point of view, that's a pretty sensible point of view.
Yep.
So that's how they felt. They felt that the meeting didn't go very well. Trying to do stuff for the council, for the residents of Brentwood, and they're just being opposed at every corner, which is their job to be opposed, which is okay, but they feel like they're being accused of scaremongering, and the opposition just trying to waste time and so on. It would be great to get the Conservatives in to get their view on everything that they've said, see if we can get some balance here, and see if we can find out what they think happened as well. But
and no shouting.
Well, they can shout as much as they like. You can just turn their volume down on the desk, can't they? Yeah. We can stand in the next room for all I care. We can regulate that. That's not a problem.
Yeah. We don't. I don't know. I know people get heated in politics. That's obviously what people do. But I don't. It's when you watch even the people up London in the House of Commons and you see them shout and you're like, for God's sake, can you just talk sense?
I have seen some of the council meetings recently, and they sometimes have resembled angry pub fights. It's without actually anybody coming to blows. It's not a nice atmosphere at all. There was also instance of one councillor asking another councillor to step out in the car park and resolve their differences, which it's not on, is it?
Women shouldn't fight, though. They really shouldn't. It's not good. Not unless you throw a bit of oil at the moment, some bubbles or something like that.
Yeah, you women are the worst ones. And why was it your idea and not mine to come up with the oil?
I don't know what I've got oil for. I don't know. It's not oil, is it? Well, I've seen some sort
it's
of
custard.
Is it custard? Oh, that's what you need. That would make the council meeting go much more smoothly. Throw a bit of custard in there, some bubbles.
I'll bring it up next time I'm down at the council. Thank you.
You can cut that bit out if you like. So you'll be back next Friday with more from the council?
I will. Yes, I'll be looking forward to it.
Excellent. Thank you. Right, just coming up to 11:51, we're going to have some ads for you, and I'll be back with more after this.
The Curtain Call with Queen's Theatre, Hornchurch.